Right now, Connecticut lawmakers are looking at a piece of legislation that will enhance protections for ticket purchases and crack down on deceptive internet sites posing as event venues. It's called an Act Concerning Entertainment Event Tickets, which really got more attention after an event came to light at the Klein right here in Bridgeport. We spoke with Lawrence Queso, executive director at the Klein, about what happened back in 2024 and how it's now prompted change during this legislative session.
Thank you for asking, Melissa, because this is a vital topic for the public. And what happened was in August of 2024, I, by accident, uncovered a dynamic that's happening on the internet for ticket platforms who claim to resell tickets, which is a misnomer. What they're actually doing is pre-selling tickets they don't own.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I found out is a member of my board bought a ticket to one of our concerts in front of me. And when she finished the transaction, she said, "Boy, that was awfully expensive." And I said, "What did you pay?" And she said, $108. And I said, "Well, the top ticket price is $59." And it turned out that the ticket she actually bought was $24. Well, instantly when that happened on my cell phone, I got the confirmation of the ticket sale because I get a confirmation of every ticket sale. And it showed a fake patron name and address in California and for face value of a $24 ticket.
So somebody had pocketed the majority of that money but gave you the $24.
What it is there are ticketing platforms out there who pay the search engines, Google, Yahoo, to get preferential treatment and be placed higher than the legitimate website of a venue. And so patrons, unsuspecting, if they type in this case it was Gerald Albright at the Klein, up will come these websites and they'll click on and they'll see our seating chart and they'll buy a ticket.
But it's not the actual
theKlein.org.
It's
not the actual Klein.
Wow.
And when that happened, I instantly contacted Senator Blumenthal because I realized this is a national issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is affecting every theater in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing research, and indeed I am confirming that. So he got right on it, and we worked with his office for about 5 months. I had talked with you during this process, mm-hmm. but the update was that December, Senator Blumenthal staged a press conference that I was at in Hartford. And that day he sent a letter to the chairman of the Federal Trade Commission urging them to investigate and legislate to enforce a legislation to restrict this kind of ticket selling, because it's not like somebody buys a block of tickets for their family, somebody gets ill and they go on the web and they sell them. This is a business that somebody's doing. You can't track them down. I've tried. You can't, when you call their service center, you get a Medicare ad. They're in the shadows and they're making a lot of money.
Well, and they can kind of stay in the shadows because ultimately it's people who just kind of aimlessly Googled or went on a search engine and they clicked on their link. They willingly paid versus doing their research. So it almost, the onus falls on the purchaser, which is crazy because
right.
That's insane victim blaming for something that they shouldn't even be involved in, but they're not technically breaking the law, right? I mean, so there's this real ethical problem, obviously, with it, people making a lot of money.
Right.
And so there's been an effort to essentially block it, to kind of put them out of business.
Among the outreach I did was to the National Independent Venues Association, and they are working in several states to affect legislation. And a bill was introduced about a year ago in the Connecticut legislature to better define what ticket reselling actually is and to put restrictions on it, really targeting these fake URL companies.
Wow.
And I testified a year ago about it in Hartford, and I had some concerns then. They have revamped the bill. And it's now getting close to a vote. And so I testified again a couple of days ago to the panel. And they remembered me. And they said, "Well, actually, we we structured a lot of the revisions on the bill based on your testimony.
Wow.
So they did take to heart everything I had shared with them because I had the evidence. If I hadn't had that board member buy that ticket and me see that these people were selling tickets that they didn't own, none of this would have happened. But that was really the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, they have addressed legislation. I testified again on it, supported most of the bill as it currently is. There's just one little revision I'd like to see them strike out. But I'm very confident that we're going to get action on this. And if it really happens, a lot of patrons are going to be saved a lot of money and a lot of confusion. In talking to other theater managers, they're sharing stories of people showing up at their theaters and the tickets that they bought don't exist.
It's crazy. Well, and I think that's why there has to be a lot of support, because you're talking about a direct impact on not just the people who live in Connecticut who are on to go to shows in Connecticut, but the theaters. I mean, what happened in the Klein was horrible. It was awful.
Since August of 24, I've been tracking every one of these bogus orders.
Of course you have, Lawrence. I wouldn't expect anything different, which, by the way, Lawrence Caso is here, executive director of the Klein. But also, yeah, I would imagine your brain has been taking that all in. So what have you found?
I keep an Excel sheet of everyone and the date and the money. 401 tickets to date in that year and a half have been sold fraudulently. Just in the year 2025, they had a face value of just under $11,000. Which means that whoever is doing this probably pocketed 3 or 4 times that,
right,
in profit.
Right. Well, because again, the one example that you gave before was that was a $24 valued ticket. Somebody you work with paid over $100 for that. And so where did all that money go?
As I was sitting waiting to testify, I just used my cell phone and I looked up an upcoming event at the Klein, the Dollop, is on March 24th. And the tickets range for that event from $25 to $70. Well, the cheapest ticket I found on one of those websites was $81. And they were going for as high as $191.
Wow. That is so, I want to call it criminal, but I know it's not, but it is.
But it's going to be soon.
Right. I was just going to say, so we have Lawrence here, and you've been a very instrumental person, a key person, I would say, Lawrence, and you heard this from lawmakers, in potentially seeing a bill pass this session that would really crack down on this type of activity happening and impacting our local theaters like the Klein. Tell us what's in the bill. Like, what were some of your recommendations that you're now seeing in this revised legislation?
First, I wanted them to address the meaning of the term reselling. Legislation was passed way back in, I believe, the mid-70s or early 80s in this state that made it legal to resell a ticket. And at the time, that was for people who might have bought a ticket, and theaters have a no-refund policy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had a relative sick or they just couldn't make the event, they wanted the ability to resell that.
Sure. And I can understand, too, like if you're a season ticket holder to something and you can't go to every event, but you want to be able to resell, I would think, you know, it logically makes sense giving that ability to resell.
So what this bill clarifies is the meaning of the word reselling. And it stipulates that in order to resell a ticket, you actually have to own it. So anybody
who
is speculative is not allowed to sell a ticket they don't own. That will clamp down on most of what affects us. There are some arenas where scalpers come in and they buy huge blocks of tickets and they hope that they'll sell all of them. That's a different animal, and there is some language that has to be in that bill that addresses that. But in terms of what I've experienced at the Klein, this will mitigate 98%, if not all, of the problems we're facing.
I mean, I don't want to talk out of turn, Lawrence, but anytime I go to a theater, a sporting venue, anything like that, I don't even, because I can remember growing up in the 90s and we're big New York Yankee fans. And if I ever went to, yeah, right? You could say that you're a Yankee fan. It's fine. I'm married to a Red Sox fan. It's fine. We love everybody, but you know, we love the Yankees. I mean, my gosh, people were always outside the stadium all the time. And they'll be there a little bit, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. And I'd say the same thing when I'd go into New York City for Broadway shows. You always saw that. And to some degree you have, but it's cut down a lot. People are going online. They're buying a lot of their stuff online. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. It's convenient. It's non-pressuring. You're prepared before you get there. That's kind of the way of the world. So I agree with you that it must cut down the majority of where this fraud would take place.
It will, as long as, and first, and thank you for performing this service that you're doing today, because the better we educate the patron,
that also helps,
is reduced greatly.
Yeah.
If people are more aware when they get online to search, and this is could be applying to buying a pair of sneakers as well as a ticket to a concert,
mm-hmm.
is make sure you're on the legitimate website of whatever entity is providing the service or mm-hmm. the product. If you can do that, then you're not going to be prey to this kind of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that, whether or not this bill passes in its current form, as long as we can keep the education going and get people to be wiser and more careful as they're buying online, better we'll all be.
I am curious, Lawrence, and I don't know if it's in this legislation or going forward, but I do think differently than clothing, I think for sports and shows, honestly, I think when it comes to ticketed events, really, I think one of the biggest reasons, because I fall victim to this as well, I think one of the biggest reasons, probably travel too, that people won't maybe do their research as much is because you go to the main website, for example, not the Klein so much, because my gosh, your ticket prices are beyond reasonable. It's ridiculous. But if you're going to see a show or a sporting event and you go to the main site, wherever the site is, you'll see those ticket prices and you're like, could I get a better deal somewhere? And that's where maybe a resale ticket would help you, even if it shaves it down $20. For some reason in our brains, that sounds better than just going to the direct site. And I'm wondering if, in your professional opinion, is there a way to... So, you know, if you go to a hotel and you book directly, they'll say that that's going to be your best price. That's going to be your best offer, even if you go to these other third party sites. Is there a way we do that in the entertainment world, do you think?
Well, it's happening in the sports world. We all know people who buy tickets and they are less expensive because they have found these websites.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly how that procedurally works.
Mm.
It may be that they have a relationship with the team or the stadium to be able to sell a bunch of things at a discount because it's added promotion. I don't know.
Right.
But with theaters, where we're so reliant on every dollar, if we're going to run a discount, we're going to do it ourselves. Season tickets are harder and harder to come by in our world now, because many people don't want to make a commitment 6 months in advance.
Mm.
So I don't even go with season tickets at the Klein. Every event stands on its own. But I don't know that there would be a way to do that.
Yeah.
I want to keep honest commerce where if you buy my ticket, if you happen to need to resell it, there's eBay. There are other places you can do it,
mm-hmm.
Or your own friend network. I don't know why these sites have to exist.
Right.
They're just poaching
right.
our customers.
Right. Well, and I think to your point, I think there's, you know, so it's not only just doing enough research to make sure you're getting a legitimate product and that you actually have the physical ticket in your hand. But to your point, you know, one of the reasons, because somebody will say, okay, well then, you know, allow refunds. But every dollar, especially in the theater, I would think, you know, and we're talking local theater, we're talking about the Klein,
mm-hmm.
As an example, you know, to just give a refund back if somebody cancels that ticket a day in advance, that is detrimental. I mean, that's not only money, but that's also an empty seat. That's also you've got talent that you're paying for to come do this. So it's a little bit trickier, I would think, for the theaters to be able to just give a full refund.
Yes, we all participate in surveys for the industry with National Independent Venues Association. The latest one showed, all in agreement, less than 50% of the revenues on any live event comes through ticket sales. You have to supplement it through sponsorships, through, in our case, very minor ticketing fees. We charge a little bit of parking, and we have concession sales. That's where you make up the difference, because shows are getting more and more expensive. Equipment is hugely expensive to maintain, and insurance. And so...
And you got to maintain the building.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so, you know, $3.9 million was just put into our building to make it a more state-of-the-art facility. So you rely on the good faith of your patron base to support that. And anything that causes distrust, confusion, detachment, that's a problem. And that's what this dynamic is doing. And I've had people talk to their friends and find out that they paid a lot more for a ticket than their friend did. And they come to us asking for a refund. And we just can't do that.
Right. It's out of your control.
So, yeah.
I think it's incredible, though, that something that was such a horrible instance for the Klein in 2024 has now turned into hope and potentially change that could come during this session, which I think is really cool. And I think it speaks also to the importance of speaking up and not just keeping that as something, okay, I'm going to figure this out for my theater. I mean, you went to the national level, Lawrence, and said, this is a problem at all theaters. And we have to at least do something about it here in Connecticut, not just for the Klein, but for anybody who's in this industry. So I think that's a really neat thing. Will you keep me posted on what goes on with this? I know you're tracking it very closely.
I will.
I want to know.
I will absolutely keep you posted. You've been terrific to give me this platform to
I think
share.
It's important. I think it is. And something you and I were talking about, Lawrence, I think it's important that people at home know we're in a short session. I know there are a lot of priorities, but this makes sense. I can't think of anybody who would say, no, let's just keep duping people out of tickets. It doesn't make any sense for anyone, the consumer, the theater, the Connecticut resident. And I would like to see this pass. I would like to see more protection in place. And so I encourage you, the listener, to tell your state rep or your state senator to have them pass this.
Well, I know that WICC is celebrating its centennial year this year.
It is.
And we're the kid at 85. But I think of all the service that a radio station can provide this way to keep the public entertained and informed. It's great.
Well, thank you, Lawrence. Right back at you, my friend. I appreciate you, and I thank you for walking us through this and keeping us posted, and we'll see what happens. Again, you at home, if you feel compelled to let your state rep or state senator know to pass this bill, do we have the exact number or anything like that?
The bill is number 5125, HB 5125.
I don't even know why I looked at you like I'd question you didn't know the exact number. Do you have the title of it? I'm just joking. But if you want to tell your state rep or state senator to pass this along, again, it is better protections for you. If you want to go to venues to watch shows, to be entertained, it is better protection for the theaters. It's better all around. And they're trying to do this at a national level. But if we can have better controls here in Connecticut, why wouldn't we do it? So Lawrence Queso, I want to thank you so much for what you do and for sharing this continuously here on our show. We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Melissa.
All right. And again, if you want to check out anything going on at the Klein as well, make sure you check out their website, theklein.org. Do not go to a third-party website. I don't want to hear about it. Go right to theklein, spelled out, .org, if you want to get any tickets and see what's going on there. Lawrence, thanks again.
Thank you.